Because I want to be great.
And I would stop you from doing that?
This is what's going to happen. Okay, I'm going to keep pursuing what I'm pursuing. And because I'm doing that, it's going to take up more and more of my time, and I'm not going to be able to spend as much time with you. And even when I do spend time with you, I'm going to be thinking about drumming. And I'm going to be thinking about jazz music and my charts and all that. And because of that, you're going to start to resent me. And you're going to tell me to ease up on the drumming, spend more time with you because you're not feeling important. And I'm not going to be able to do that. And really, I'm just going to start to resent you for even asking me to stop drumming. And we're just going to start to hate each other. And it's going to get it's going to be ugly. And so for those reasons, I'd rather just, you know, break it off clean. I want to be one of the greats.
You have every opportunity. There's no excuse not to be the hardest motherfucking worker in the room.
Do you know how hard I worked to get here?
I firmly believe when you give everything you got to something, right? I'm talking about blood, sweat, and tears, everything you got to something, right? The peace in that is not the result or the reward. The peace is the fact that I gave everything I had to it because this is who I am.
Yeah.
So now, even if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to, I didn't go to the NFL.
Yeah.
That was a dream I had since I was 7. It didn't happen. But it was a certain level of peace that resided inside of me because I knew September 9th, 2006, my last tackle, I can honestly say with every fiber of my being, I gave everything I had to.
Yeah.
I'm nervous for I'm going to go speak or something. I got a little thing in my wallet. You're going to die one day, McConaughey. And I'm like, that relaxes me. If I'm going in complacent, I got another note and tell myself, what you're about to say and do will outlive you. So you better do it well.
It's 1 a.m. I'm going for my third workout. Do I want to go to the gym? Absolutely not. I'd rather, you know, lay in my house and sit in the movie theater and watch movies. But, you know, to be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
You know what's the number one way you measure somebody that's hungry? Very simple. Their sense of urgency. That's simple. Let me explain to you why. So people say, well, you have no idea how hungry I am. Really? Yeah. What'd you do about it today? Oh, not today, but tomorrow you ain't hungry, man. You just think you're hungry. You are not hungry.
You have to sacrifice everything in order to achieve your goal. Everything. You have to sacrifice your family, your dignity, everything, because the objective is to accomplish the goal. And that's all I want to do. You have to be able to disregard your happiness, because our happiness is a form of our ego as well. And it's all about disintegrating the ego and being this objective individual, which is almost impossible without the ego. You know, the ego gives it purpose. So you have to have a purpose without a feeling, which I just know how to do. I can't even explain it.
I want to reassure you that you can do it. I want you to reassure you that you can make the decisions. I want to reassure you that no matter what the night, no matter what the storm, no matter what the difficulty, there isn't anybody here that can't figure it out, find some things to do, step at a time, yes. Minute at a time, yes. Day at a time, yes. Week at a time, yes. But there isn't anything you can't walk away from. There isn't any challenge you can't overcome. I want you to have that kind of belief in yourself. So the winters are going to come. The winter of sickness, the winter of disappointment, the winter of devastation, social winters, economic winters, personal winters when your heart is smashed in 1,000 pieces and the nights are unusually long. It's simply called winter time. But the winters are inevitable. And that's what I'm telling you. It's possible for you to conquer your winters.
Think about what's scarier, trying and failing, or living by someone else's rules for the rest of your life. Be selfish. Be selfish for the next 3 years. Go get yourself strong. Go put your own oxygen mask on. Put some money in the bank. Crush your company. Be selfish with your time. Be selfish with your income. Be greedy on the amount of money you want to make. I'm telling you, be greedy, be selfish. Go all in. If you stop thinking, I wish I could do more, be more, go all in.
You want to live a good life? Yes, I like to drink. I like to eat a burger. Okay, you're going to pay the bill in the future.
Right.
I think the most important is to find the balance. Sometimes I can eat a burger or chips, well, it doesn't matter. And sometimes I sleep 2 o'clock in the morning because last night I was in UFC here in Saudi, and the main event, it's 2 o'clock. Yes, it's quality of life too. But the most important thing, it's the consistency. If you have consistency, you're going to be better than other ones in the future.
Stop being average when your potential is crying to come outside and be more than that. Two forms of pain. Pain that breaks you and the pain that changes you. That's the pain of the change right there. That's the pain of progress. The pain that destroys you isn't this shit. It's later in life knowing you could have been more, and all that's left is you and the fucking mirror and tears of a possibility left that you allow to die. Own your fucking life, guys.
But life is hard, and that's the way it's always been. It's our lot. Now, if you don't want to accept that, that's up to you, okay? But it's our lot. It's our place.
The people who are obsessed are the ones who change the world. At least change their world. He said, you know the difference between champions and everyone else? And I was like, what? He said, everyone always looks at them and says, what do champions have that I don't have? And he said, they have it backwards. He said, it's what do champions not have that I have? It's what do they lack? And it's an off button. They just don't stop. And so in dealing with the gold medals, he's like, they just never stop. They just can't stop. Everything in their life is geared towards one goal. And they approach
stronger. You can't stop people from trying to limit your dreams, but you can stop it from becoming a reality. Your dreams are up to you. I encourage you to always be curious, always seek out things you love, and always work hard once you find it.
This is what every single Rocky training montage gets wrong, which is Rocky never doubted the direction and the path that he was on. He just doubted whether or not he could get there. That's not the way that personal growth happens, in my opinion, at all. You are filled with uncertainty. Is this even working? Yeah. I have no idea if there's glory on the other side of this. You know, it's the other side of the lonely. It's the process of the lonely chapter.
Life don't come without sacrifice. Everything you got right here, right now, I know came with sacrifice. None of us can deny it. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to lose in order to gain what you need to prosper? What are you willing to lose to evolve? As far as those who are prospering, to get where they need it. You lose friends, you lose countless money. Some people lose their family members. You know, you lose everything to acquire what you want. So in the end of the day, you have to decide for yourself. Nobody else can decide for you what is worth it. What am I willing to put myself through? How much pain can I endure? How much am I willing to endure? Is a real question. Nobody else can make a decision for yourself, or nobody else can change your destiny but you. The pen is in your hands. You narrate your story.
I have given every single thing, every ounce of my life to this craft, to perfecting my craft, and I continue to do so. And in the process, I have lost my mind to regular society, to people who wake up at 9 a.m., who clock out at 5 p.m. They would look at me and say, I've lost my mind. Me, I have found it.
It's going to take all of you. It's going to take every ounce of your being, everything you've got. And if you give it any less than everything you totally got, you're not totally spent, you're not doing enough. When you get to the point that you got 5 more reps, you get 5 more reps, but then you got 5 more. And somehow, by some act of God, you're praying to God that you have to get 5 more reps. You do what you will. Whenever you got 5 more reps, usually you have 10. You can't just say, oh, okay, I got 5 more reps. It has to be 5 more reps. It has to be everything within you. It has to be able to go to the table, go to the bar, go to the rack, go to the exercise you're doing. You demand it, insist it, and you have to become the muscle. You are the muscle. The muscle is an addict for workouts. The muscle is an addict for tension. The muscle is an addict for stress on the muscle. And when you get to the gym, you're the addict. You're the muscle. Life is...
He used this sentence I f***ing adore. He said, I could always hear my better self clearing his throat in the room next door. Could always hear my better self clearing his throat in the room next door. And then his world came crashing down. It's like... And I wondered whether or not that guy next door was going to stop fucking coughing and kick the door in.
Mm.
And sure enough, he did.
When I said I wanted to win 8 gold medals, basically half the people in the swimming world thought I was absolutely crazy and nobody could ever do something like that. But for me, I was somebody who believed in it and somebody who believed in the process of getting there. I knew it wasn't going to happen overnight, like I said before, but every little small thing that we did was a small stepping stone in order to even be able to have that chance and that opportunity to do what I did in 2008. So, you know, when I say from 2002 to 2008 was basically trial and error. So for me, in 2002, that's really when I started amping up my event schedule, where I was swimming 4 to 5 individual events and having a couple relays at Pan Pacs, World Championships, major international competitions throughout that time frame. Because at that time, at the Olympic Games, that's where I think the real truth comes out. Because I think there are a lot of people who are very talented who can make it there. There are very few people who can deal with the pressure and the stress that happens when we're there. So that's why I say we had to make sure that we were physically, emotionally, and mentally ready, because I had to be ready to be able to kind of manage my emotions through that week. Yeah, winning a gold medal is absolutely incredible. There's nothing better than standing on the podium listening to your national anthem play after you just won a gold medal. But for me,
there's always little things that you can do better, especially right now coming into the NBA. It's a big jump. So you really have to keep on improving yourself on a daily basis, keep trying to learn something new. Because in the NBA, you have a lot of games, a lot of practices, and you're not going to feel healthy every practice. You're not going to be able to run as hard as you possibly can every practice. So you just basically try to learn as much as you can during those times. Even when you get to that point, you got to keep on moving. Because there's always somebody out there who's working just as hard, if not harder, than you are.
I need you to try. Whatever it is that you want to do, whatever you've been planning, whatever you've been talking about in your group chat with your homies, whatever you've been praying about, I need you just to start trying on it. And if you think you're trying on it, you're not trying on it. You're not. I need you to take it up another gear. I need you to do more research. I need you to figure out your flaws, have some self-reflection, take some accountability, see where you're lacking it, and start trying for real. You give it everything you got, bro.
I've been fascinated for a very long time with the price that you need to pay to be somebody that you admire. You know, to be somebody that is an extreme performer, that is in a position that most people would find enviable.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one of those things. You don't understand what it is that drives people to do the things that they do. Now, some people have a beautiful balance. You know, they do it from a place of self-love and wanting to maximize their time on this planet. And it's this, you know, wonderful upward trajectory toward a goal that they believe in. But for a lot of people, it's running away from something that they fear. Mm-hmm. Insufficiency, a need for validation, comfort, control, recognition from the teachers that didn't believe in them, the bullies that got them in school, the parents that didn't give them enough attention, whatever it is. And I think it's just a really lovely redress for most people to think, okay, I think I want this thing. And as we said at the very, very beginning, what's the price that I need to pay in order to be able to get this thing? Do I want to pay that? Do I want to pay that price? To be Truett Haynes, what do I need to do? Well, I need to have a childhood where I'm made to carry a rock up a fucking hill every night after school for like 10 years. Do I want that? Like, do I want to be working so hard that my hands are 3 times as... His hands were the size of your hands. You know, that's where I need to be. I just think it was really, really interesting. From camp, you know, somebody who is an extreme performer, somebody whose sons are also extreme performers, to just look at, okay, it was a really, really interesting reflection.
And I'm obsessed with being the best version of myself, and that's a daily thing. I'm obsessed with finding myself now and not having to prove anything to anybody other than myself, and realizing that that is enough. Giving your best is enough. And sometimes we lose track of that. So for anybody out there, you know, you're enough, man.
The bar for excellence has never been so low. Most of your competition quits after the first sign of difficulty because they've never known what hard feels like. If it's hard for you, it's hard for everyone. And most people avoid hard things, which is why you can beat most people by just trying.
You have to disappear. Disappearing means doing the work. It means doing the work in the dark. It means building in private what you don't need to prove in public. It means doing the work when no one's watching. You stop worrying about what people think and start valuing what you believe. Because a life that looks good or sounds good is nothing compared to a life that feels good.
And so I want you guys to understand something. Winning is for the obsessed. You must be obsessed if you want to win. You must be obsessed with the goal, the journey, the outcome, the experience, the rejections, all of it.
Obsession is going to be talent every time. You got all the talent in the world, but are you obsessed?
Winning is also for the people who are relentless. They're locked on because winners are willing to put in the time and effort and energy and deal with the rejection and deal with the hardship to learn the skills and the abilities that are going to help them get the desired outcome.
I am the only one paying the price. I am the only one doing what's required. Everybody else is sitting at home eating Doritos. How can you not be excited about that?
If you're succeeding at a job that you hate, imagine how good you'd be at a job that you loved. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the same. This person is starting from essentially zero. How much fucking worse can it get?
Right. Is the downside. If you can eliminate someone's downside for action, it's like then the bias, it should bias you towards taking action.
Life is going to play out the way it's going to play out. There will be some good and some bad. Most of it is actually just up to your interpretation. You're born, you have a set of sensory experiences, and then you die. How you choose to interpret those experiences is up to you, and different people interpret them in different ways.
Nothing gained can ever be gained without losing. Every great reward demands a sacrifice, for even paradise requires death.
Develop a workaholic mentality. What does this mean? It means that you start a little earlier, you work a little harder, and you stay a little later. In our society today, you hear all these people talking about take it easy, have balance in your life, relax, lean back, have fun at work, happy, happy, get along with your coworkers. This is loser talk. Loser, loser, loser. Now, there's a time in your life when you can back off, all right? You can take it easy. But that's when you've made it, not before you've made it. Because before you've made it, you're in a competition with hundreds of thousands of millions of other people, like at the Olympics, who also want to make it. And in order for you to win, you are going to have to work harder and work better and work smarter than they do.
All in is a term I like to use in my ventures. All in. We've got to be all in on our ventures. Yeah. It's not all in again. I'll go back to that term. It's halfway in. And then you can't be that way. And you certainly cannot be that way in the fight game. But in reality, you can't be that way in any game you're in. If you're in a game, make sure you're in it all the way. All in with it. And then that game will be your game.
If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do 100%. Yeah. No in the middle, no 90%, no, I'm 100%. I always try to do my best and try to do my everything. And I think because I love what I do.
But there's some games you don't get to play unless you're all in. And the other thing that's so interesting about being alive is that you're all in. No matter what you do, you're all in. This is going to kill you. So I think you might as well play the most magnificent game you can while you're waiting. Because do you have anything better to do?
If you aren't naturally tired at night and excited in the morning, then you probably haven't found something meaningful to work on. You are not stressed from doing too much. You are stressed from doing too little of what you care about.
The best advice is find something you really fucking love and care about and give yourself to it. Bukowski's got this great line. He says, find what you love and let it kill you. And I just, there's like so much beauty in that, because when you find a craft or a trade or a skill that like you deeply, deeply care about, or a mission that you deeply, deeply care about, you become willing to trade yourself for that mission. And when you trade your time, you are literally trading your life for something. So what are you going to trade it for?
Says that everything great and worthwhile in human life is an accumulation of hundreds and sometimes thousands of tiny efforts and sacrifices that nobody ever sees or appreciates.
Understand that every choice you make ignites the compound effect, either in the positive or the negative.
To those who have everything, more will be given. From those who have nothing, everything will be taken. It's like what's very pessimistic in some sense, because it means that as you start to fail, you fail more and more rapidly. But it also means that as you start to succeed, you succeed more and more rapidly.
This law says that everything accumulates over time. that you may have to put in many, many tiny efforts that nobody sees or appreciates before you achieve anything worthwhile.
There is no cheat day. There is no binge and make up for it on Monday reality when it comes to the butterfly effect or the compound effect. Everything has a consequence. So the answer to this is, when you start making positive choices and the results are invisible and you're getting no reward for your positive choice, you just have to have patience.
See that guy over there by the fax? Take a good look. He's never going to make partner. Okay, let me guess, because he threw a lousy rookie dinner.
No, because he doesn't get it.
Get what?
He doesn't get that doing good work isn't the whole job. Part of getting it is...
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That things like the dinner actually matter, even when you don't think they do. Get it through your head. You start behind the eight ball, you'll never get in front.
It's like a snowball. A snowball starts off very small, but it grows as it adds millions and millions of tiny snowflakes and continues to grow as it gathers momentum, turning into an avalanche that takes the whole mountain in front of it.
You underestimate how the smallest decisions can compound to significant differences over a lifetime.
Everything changed for me when I understood this philosophy. Learn to work harder on yourself than you do on your job. That's the simple philosophy that changed my life forever starting age 25. If you work hard on your job, you can make a living, which is fine. If you work hard on yourself, you can make a fortune, which is super fine.
Rome wasn't built in a day. We all know that. Everyone hears that. But Rome also didn't fall apart overnight either. It took hundreds of years for Rome to reach its peak, but it also took time, hundreds of years, for Rome to decay and fall apart. And that is representative of life, because you don't achieve worthwhile goals quickly or easily. They take time.
The end of every day, you look yourself in the mirror and you ask yourself, did I get better today? If the answer is yes, and you do that for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, how much better are you going to be? Are you getting better every single day? That's the question. And it's just taking small steps. You don't try to get it all done in one day, in 1 week, in 1 year. It's the process of getting better every day and doing that for a period of years that then create the masterpiece.
Big things have small beginnings.
You've heard of the butterfly effect, right? Butterfly flaps its wings, one part of the planet, on the other side of the planet, there's a tsunami. That's exactly what happens in your life. Every choice you make ignites the butterfly effect. One little choice ignites a tsunami on the other side 10, 20 years down the road, either positive or negative, every one of them.
Most of us know what we could do to change things for the better. And we spend our time and our energy talking ourselves out of doing those things. And the other thing that I convince people of, because this is so true, it's the littlest stuff. The little things make all the difference. That true change comes down to 5 second windows.
And so you take an incremental step and, well, now you can lift 55 pounds instead of 52.5 pounds. You think, well, what the hell is that? It's like, it's one step on a very long journey. And so it starts to compound on you. So a small step today means puts you in a position to take a slightly bigger step the next day. And then that puts you in a position to take a slightly bigger step the next day. And you do that for 2 or 3 years, man, you're starting to stride.
Doing the thing in spite of not wanting to do the thing is discipline, right? You don't need motivation to get yourself up to go and do a thing. Make the promise small, build it up step by step. Know that you are going to have setbacks, and this is my favorite rule from James Clear, which is a habit missed once is a mistake, a habit missed twice is the start of a new habit.
If you're disciplined in that, you'll speed up extraordinarily rapidly. And so that's the good news, you might say, is that you can take very small steps, even ones that might be shameful in their size, and you have to admit that to yourself. But once you get the ball rolling, it doesn't roll in a linear fashion, it rolls in a geometric fashion.
The difference between you and the average person is you're willing to take more pain. You're willing to take more no's. You're willing to work longer and harder hours. You're willing to put in the suffering that other people just won't do. They'd rather go home and watch television and go drinking and watch sports on the weekends and so on. But all the people who are successful are willing to take the pain that goes with their work. And the greatest pain of all is being told no, being rejected, because we take it personally. We think it's something fundamentally wrong with us or our company or our product, and it hurts us and we feel bad inside. But once you can change your thinking about that and say, hey, no is good. No's are inevitable. They go with the territory. I promise you, if you will pursue no's, if you will go for no, if you try to get as many no's as possible, you're going to be a big success in life. Nothing will stop you. Because the more you get no's, the smarter you get, the faster you get, the quicker on your feet you get, and the fewer no's you get. The very willingness to go out and get all the no's makes it likely that eventually you get fewer and fewer no's and more yeses.
You don't achieve worthwhile goals quickly or easily. They take time. They take relentless pursuit day in and day out. That's what it takes.
There was a kid who everyone underestimated. Too small, too quiet, too ordinary. But every day while they laughed, he worked. In the gym, in the books, in the shadows. He knew one truth. Effort beats talent when talent doesn't try. Years later, they asked him how he did it, and he just smiled, because they never saw the grind. It's the quiet hustle that makes the loudest impact.
The Compound Effect reveals the core essentials responsible for the success of every superachiever you will ever read about. This is the bottom line. Success is not doing 5,000 things really well. Success is doing
70-80% of people are not aware of how they spend their time. They think they spend a lot of time in meetings. It turns out they spend a lot of time socializing. They think they spend a lot of time working on reports. It turns out they spend a lot of time on the telephone. They think they spend a lot of time doing important jobs. It turns out they spend a lot of time wasting time. So keep a time log, or just keep a sheet, and whenever you have a chance to look at your watch, write down what you're doing at the time, or have somebody else watch what you're doing and feedback to you how you're spending your time. And then you have to ask, is how I'm spending my time consistent with my major goals, my top priorities, my high payoff tasks? And you'll find that it's not. And you'll also find that you feel frustrated and you feel stressed if you are not working your time on the things that you're supposed to do.
Whatever it is that you're pursuing to achieve or create or express in the world, I think a lot of people back out before that happens. The fact that you've been doing this for a world.
I knew a man who once said death smiles at us all. All a man can do is smile back.
It always takes me back to that quote of Marcus Aurelius, who had a slave that would sit behind him and always whisper to him, hey,
you're just a man.
You're just a man.
You have to let it all go, Neo. Fear, doubt, and disbelief. Free your mind.
Guess I'm not in the mood today.
Mood? What's mood to do with it?
You fight when the necessity arises, no matter the mood. Now fight!
Trust your instincts. Don't think, just do. You think up there, you're dead. Believe me.
But fear is a choice.
Your fate lies on whatever road you take. Even if you choose to run from it.
It's only after we've lost everything that we're free to do anything.
Like, okay, my knees hurt. I basically, a lot of mornings I wake up and say, fuck your feelings.
Where you fight, anger's your biggest tool. Fighting angry, that drains you twice as fast. Yeah, the guy in the ring is your enemy, but if all you're trying to do is kill him, then you expose yourself. You leave yourself vulnerable.
God protects yourself. Make his mistakes be his destruction.
Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings obliteration.
Oh,
right where the Sierra's gone. There will be nothing. And here I will remain.
Pain or damage don't end the world, or despair, or f***ing beatings. The world ends when you're dead. Until then, you got more punishment in store. Stand it like a man, and give some back.
You are not ready.
I know.
Like everyone else, you want to learn the way to win, but never to accept the way to lose. To accept defeat, to learn to die is to be liberated from it. So when tomorrow comes, you must free your ambitious mind and learn the art of dying.
One of my favorite things from Marcus Aurelius is, the whole universe is change, and life itself is but what we deem it.
Mm-hmm.
Life itself is but what we deem it. The eight most profound words in all of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
What he means is that things are going to happen. You are going to have experiences in life. Almost all of the important impacts of how those experiences change you are going to be the story that you tell yourself about what that experience means.
Remember, I told you an angry mind is a narrow mind. Whenever you're angry, you're only thinking about what you can do to somebody. You're not thinking about what can happen to you. Now that's how Justin got you.
Isn't anger good for fighting?
No. It's about emotional content, not anger.
Doesn't that anger make you work harder?
No, it just makes you feel like you're working harder. You're actually burning out your mind. And where your mind goes, your body follows. It's better to make your opponent angry so you can control the fight. The real test for you is to calm your mind.
I read tons of business books at that time, but I couldn't use any of them because I was so afraid. And what's crazy is that, like, I think about it now in retrospect, and it's like, it's crazy how large the perceived monsters can appear.
You need to do something, you do it anyways. You don't do it because you're motivated, you do it because you're disciplined.
It's this quote that I love, but it's, fear is a mile wide and an inch deep. And so you look at it, it looks like this ocean, and then you take the first step and you realize you don't drown.
At some point, everything's gonna go south on you. Everything's gonna go south, and you're gonna say, this is it. This is how I end. Now you can either accept that, or you can get to work.
Everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth.
You have power
over your mind,
not outside
events.
Realize this,
and you will find strength.
Ultimately, happiness comes down to choosing between the discomfort of becoming aware of our mental afflictions and the discomfort of becoming ruled by them.
They jar something deep inside. Without change, something sleeps inside us and seldom awakens. The sleeper must awaken.
This society is too weak. And why? Because of all the technology which is available right now, so you don't need to use your body anymore. I always think about in the Stone Ages. Do you think somebody in the Stone Ages had depression? Yeah, or even a more modern variation, the Spartans. Do you think they had depression? You know, maybe you are laughing, but all of these groups, they are too busy with their body, they are too busy with activity to be depressed. You can sit if you want from morning till evening just in front of the screen and nothing's gonna happen anymore.
You know, what I try to do is just try to be still and understand that things come and go, emotions come and go. The important thing is to accept them all, to embrace them all, and then you can choose to do with them what you want versus being controlled by emotion.
I remember being approached with that, and I just told him, I said, violence is everywhere. You can't run from it.
Destiny arrives all the same.
You need to let discipline be your guide, not how you feel. You impose discipline on the situation and you do what you're supposed to do. You don't feel like working out? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you don't feel like working out. It doesn't matter. It's not part of the calculation. Discipline overrides that. Discipline trumps your feelings.
Here's a good phrase from ancient script. In due season, you shall have a harvest if you do not faint. In due season, your harvest will come if you do not faint. If you're not faint of heart, if you don't give up too soon, patience.
Fear is a tool. They think I'm hiding in the shadows. But I am the shadows.
Face them. To conquer fear, you must become fear.
Fear is why you fail.
No, I'm not afraid. I'm angry.
One doesn't expect to get from life what one has already learned it cannot give. Never stop, no matter how many failures. When you know you're doing what you're meant to do, you have to try.
You are your own worst enemy. You waste precious time dreaming of the future instead of engaging in the present. Since nothing seems urgent to you, you're only half involved in what you do. The first time that I went to go and see Peterson, someone asked him a question and they said, "The depth of my consciousness causes me to suffer. Is it a blessing or a curse to feel everything so deeply?" And he thought for a little bit and he said, "Take more of the thing that poisons you until you turn it into a tonic that girdles the world around you. The only way out is through."
It is not the events that upset us. It is our judgments about them.
It starts with a decision. Not tomorrow. Not someday. Right now. Because the world doesn't wait. Opportunity doesn't knock twice. There's a voice in your head. Quiet. Relentless. Whispering.
I'm not ready.
Ignore it. That voice is a liar. The truth, you will fall. You will fail. But the fire you need isn't found in safety. It's forged in struggle. In the gut-wrenching, bone-breaking, soul-shaking moments when everything in you screams, quit! And you answer, not today.
The quote says, when you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person that walked into it. That's what the storm is all about. When you can't control what's happening to you, control how you respond to it. That's where your power is.
You face the things that life deals with you. You deal with what is in front of you because it makes you great. It unlocks in you something that you wouldn't be capable of otherwise.
I'm gonna crumble. Not you. You're too cold.
Yeah, because I think that emotions, most of the time, doesn't help us to deal with something. Of course, emotions is like spices for your life, but when you have some hard situation, you shouldn't use your emotions.
We don't necessarily have to look forward to the obstacles. We can even hope they don't happen. But when they do happen, we see them as something that's chosen for us, something that can shape and improve and change, make us better, give us opportunities to do things we couldn't ordinarily do. That's what Stoicism is about.
Enough is enough. How long will you allow the potential inside you to lie dormant? Do not allow another day to pass without being able to say, "I gave it my all." You can't get out of bed when you say you will. You call this freedom?
Thoughts lead to actions. Actions lead to behaviors. Behaviors leads to lifestyle. Lifestyle determines your destiny. So everything begins in the mind. If you can control and wield your mind, you can very much determine your destiny. If you can determine that regardless of what your mind says, you will go to the gym, you will develop a physique unlike 99% of society. If you decide to work on your business and you decide and you commit and you determine your mindset and you wield it, you can become successful.
I don't know what your future is. But if you're willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it.
the fastest and the best way to de-stress, to lower your level of stress in real time. And this is very important because life is stressful, right? Like, we can't control external events. And we hear all this stuff, like meditate, vacation, massage, all do all this stuff, but that's great, but what if you're stressed in the moment, right? You're about to give a talk, or you're in a difficult conversation, or the world seems to be spinning around you. The physiological sigh brings your level of stress down immediately, very quickly, and we all have the capacity to do it. And it's done the following way. It's a double inhale through the nose. The first one is a complete inhale till your lungs feel full, and then you sneak in a little bit more air as a second inhale, and then a long, slow exhale through the mouth until your lungs are completely empty.
It seems strange to me that the harder I work, the luckier I get.
And you can drag yourself through an exercise routine. You can. Well, you most certainly can. You most certainly can. You don't have to do a lot. You just have to do something. You walk up hills. You jump a little rope. You take a little tiny kettlebell. You do a couple cleans and presses. You do a few push-ups. You do a few sit-ups. You get your blood pumping. You're moving. You're alive. You're exercising. To say you don't have enough energy to exercise, that's crazy. Can you walk to the refrigerator? Then you can exercise.
So your brain needs pressure. It needs constant pressure, and stress and pressure is not a bad thing. We have this thing where we feel like stress is bad. It's bad for you. Bad. You know, you need to relax, man. You need to chill. Stress will kill you. No, being bored will kill you. Not having anything to do will kill you. It's much more dangerous than stress. Yes, you can work too hard. You can work where there's no soul involved. I work like a fiend because I'm writing a book. And it's a very hard process for me. And I'm working far too much. But man, I love it. It's fantastic, right? And it could...
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.